What's up? This is Dominique Beaumonte, and you are listening to Season with Salt, the podcast. I want to share with you all what keeps me focused. And I will admit that I have struggled with focus because, like most people, we become overwhelmed with what is in front of us. And sometimes so focused on what is in front of us that becomes our identity, right? Like trying to get through the day, or trying to navigate a difficult relationship, or trying to survive a difficult season of life. And when you are in the middle of things, it's very difficult to remember that what you are in the middle of is actually not the sum total of your life, your experiences, your identity. And I wanted to share with you something simple that has always kept me grounded. There are times when I'm overwhelmed. I'm struggling with something that is bothering me. And the way that my life is set up, I tend to overthink. I tend to overplan. Sometimes I've been guilty of, and I don't know if this is just the way that I'm wired or what, I'll dream about the things that I'm concerned about. I wake up thinking about the things that I'm concerned about. Like, it's just a cycle of, you know, just like, this is what is immediately in front of me. So this is what consumes my entire life and my entire identity. And what I realize is that is a trick of the enemy. That is Satan's plan to cause us to lose focus on on the master plan that God has for our lives. And sometimes we can know, you know, we know what God has told us about our lives. We know what we're hopeful for. We know things that are planned in the future, but we can get stuck in the monotony of what's right in front of us. So I've learned to practice reminding myself by just simply asking myself questions. Like, is this relationship or this instance or this conflict, is it your entire identity? Is it all that you are supposed to be focused on? Is it the sum total of your life? Like, if you put all of your energy into trying to solve or fix whatever is in front of you, will you be able to be everything that God intends for you to be, to whom He intends you to be it to? And that might manifest differently for you, right? If you're a caretaker and you're overwhelmed by something at work, and you bring that conflict from work into your own personal space. See, I think some of the times, I know for me, I have struggled with that, you know, maintaining friendships. And all of us have friends who, and we might be one of those friends, right? Like, when you get off of work or you get out of church or whatever community that you're a part of, like, and you have friends that are not a part of that community, or maybe that are a part of that community, you're extending that dialogue about, you know, what happened, or rehearsing things that aren't necessarily pertinent to the friendship or the people that you're interacting with, but you just need somebody to listen. And I think that's good. It's great to have people to listen to you. It's great to have people that you can confide in, that you can, you know, grab arm in arm, and that you can get feedback, and that can affirm you, can challenge you, can push you. Those things are great. But sometimes our relationships with other people that we care about can become sort of receptacles for other things that are happening in our lives, and then people that we care about draw away from us because they don't want to hear about what happened at work. Or maybe they have something that they want to talk about that's different from the normal guess what he did or guess what she did. And my strategy in when I'm operating in strength and in divine focus is to ask myself, what does this have to do with the grand scheme of things? Are you keeping the main thing the main thing? Are you letting what happened to you today impact who you are called to be? What does this have to do with what God created me to be? One example might be, and I worked in human resources for about 4 years, four dreadful years, y'all. It was a mess. Definitely not my calling. But I would notice that people would be like so overwhelmed about their performance evaluation. Like they would just be like freaking out. And I identify with that too. Like I just have a lot of anxiety about, I mean, I've not gotten a poor evaluation, I mean, to an extent, but I always was very anxious about it. And I had a therapist once, and I was talking to the therapist about the anxiety that I have around, you know, just performance reviews and people's assessment of my performance when it comes to large projects, and I would like put everything into like what people think. What are these people going to say? Like, what's it going to mean to me? How does it create who I am? And the therapist was like, you do know that you are more than somebody's assessment of you. You do know that you will have many, many performance evaluations in your life. You'll have many tests that somebody else is going to grade. You'll have many obstacles and situations where people will be watching you from the outside and will make an assessment of what you did and how you did it. But you do realize that ultimately you cannot shape your identity around what they think when you yourself are connected to a higher power. That higher power for me is Jesus Christ. And as wild as it sounds, it is so easy. It is so easy to center the assessment, the approval, the affirmation of other people, even though we know that we're directly connected to God and His purpose for our life. And so that's why I get what the Apostle Paul was saying when he's talking about crucifying his flesh, like creating a regular practice and culture of shedding the part of ourselves that's most critical, the part of ourselves that leads us away from divine focus, that leads us away from divine purpose. And sometimes that part of us that we have to kill off, that we have to trim off from ourselves, is our need for affirmation from other people. Like, there are people who really, really love you, and they have an opinion about things that you do or say that they would like for you to make adjustments to because it is what they want you to be. And there are some personality traits that I have that don't align with immediate family members at times. But I know that God has given me some of those traits because he's called me to the marketplace. He's called me to the ministry. And so I have to be very careful about what other people think about them so that I don't, alienate a part of me that is central to my purpose and my calling. So the challenge that I have for you is to consider this. Consider that every experience that you have, everything that you go through, every difficult situation that is immediately in front of you is just one part. It might be a part of your life that catapults you to the next level. It might be something that in the long run doesn't matter at all, right? And it's important to ask God, what do you want me to learn from this season? What do you want me to learn from this relationship? What do you want me to learn from this job? What do you want me to learn from this person? What do you want me to learn from the experience that I'm having? And help me to be strong enough to not allow what I'm experiencing to chip off the things that you intend for me to be, the things that you intend for me to love, the places that you intend for me to go. The other thing that I think is really, really important is that every day when we wake up, we can reset the joy that we have in our heart. We can decide that today is a day of joy. And in the process of deciding to have joy and to operate in joy and to live in joy, we got to be realistic about the things that come to take our joy, right? The things that come to steal our joy are the people, the places, and some of the places and the things that steal our joy we cannot avoid. There are some family members that steal our joy. You might have a job that steals your joy that you can't just up and leave today, right? And so the decision has to be, how do I live in pure joy without allowing everything? It has to be intrinsic. It has to be internal. It has to be somewhere that you're tapping in. You have to refill that space in you so things externally don't impact you, right? And especially when you're in seasons of difficulty and you're a parent or you're a spouse or you are directly connected to other people who are not necessarily connected to the thing that you're going through, like learning how to not make them responsible or victims of things that are happening around you. Because ultimately, you don't want a bad professional experience to equate to you being an unresponsive or alienated parent, right? And that's the work of the enemy. So the focus, the thing that is strengthening me, is always refocusing, getting my focus off the person, getting my focus off the thing, getting my focus off of what happened, and just remembering. You know, the other thing that is powerful to me, particularly in this season, and God has constantly been reminding me of this when I have felt weak, and that is that he has never left me or forsaken me. And I know that that's something that people say, like, oh, Jesus never left me, he never forsake me. But literally, when I look back over the breadth and the depth of my life, like, I've never had a difficult season that I didn't survive and come out of. Sometimes it took therapy. Sometimes it took making some more money. Sometimes it took sacrifice. But I never have had a season that I can look back on and say, that was so difficult, I didn't survive it. And so I had that in my toolbox, right? That even though I'm in front of something that is very difficult, I know that in the long term, God's not going to let this kill me. God's not going to let this destroy me. So I can't be my worst enemy, right? Like, I can't make it feel like it's going to destroy me when I know that God has always protected me, always brought me through, always covered me, always had my back. And so I want to pray for your focus. I want to pray that you keep the main thing the main thing. I want to pray that if you don't know who you're called to be, that that's the pursuit that you have, as opposed to trying to appeal and approve or get approval or affirmation from other people. I want to pray that your constant focus is to be who you know God has called you to be, and not what other people think you should be, because you will lose focus. People will tell you that you're not good at things that God called you and appointed and affirmed you to be. And they will do that because they don't care about your focus. You not being focused in their world helps them. They want you to lose focus. They want you to be ungrounded. They want you to not have a foundation. But that's their business. Okay? Let's pray. God, help us to focus. Help us to know that if we keep our eyes on you, that nothing else matters. Help us to be unshakable. Help us to be firm in you. Help us to remember all the things that your word says, all the things that have come as a result of our experiences, all the battles that we've won, all the difficult seasons that we have survived. Help us to remember and recollect those things so that when we are at our lowest points, we have a little bit of hope to know that you will bring us out, that you will protect us, that you will cover us. And then, God, help us to shed the part of ourselves that makes us be in cycles where other people control what we feel is our destiny. Help us to be honest with ourselves about things that we can change. Help us to be honest with ourselves about people that we have put in the way of you, that we've made bigger than you. So we're looking for their affirmation rather than pleasing you. And God, most of all, show us what you want us to do. Tell us where you want us to go. Direct us. And we thank you and we love you in Jesus' name. God bless you.